Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. And a big week in NFL. Basically, I guess the signing or free agency period opened up. And the biggest name on the board, Russell Wilson. I haven't been high on him. And we were kind of leaning towards like to see what the Steelers were going to do. I had been hoping that maybe they could get Kirk Cousins at a bonus, like at a discount, but he signed a massive deal with the Falcons. And I don't even know what the Falcons were thinking there, because he's not a game breaking quarterback. He's more just like a game manager. Like, there's no other way to say, to put it. He's not winning games on his own. They've always had good receiving options there for him. And they still have great, like, that's a good scenario for any quarterback looking to land a spot. So the Steelers took the opposite direction. They went with the extreme discount, where they signed Russell Wilson for like $1 million-something. And whatever the league minimum was, is what they signed him for. The Broncos are on the hook for the rest of his pay, which is ridiculous, because I don't see how anyone, any quarterback, can find the Denver situation attractive. I already feel bad for rookies that might get drafted there, because you have to be looking at it and say, all right, how far are they going to be able to make it with that roster? Like, you can't sink so much money into a quarterback that's not there and then have enough to build around, because you're losing a lot of key players. Right. And Russell Wilson never really, like, it seemed like they only had a 2-year window or whatever with him, and it didn't pan out. So it's almost like they need to go for a full rebuild. I don't know how they're going to dig out of that situation. And so I hope like JJ doesn't get drafted there. I don't even know what would be a better situation. Obviously, the Vikings would be the best situation, I think, because you have Jefferson and he's going to help you out. And they just seem like they're built to win. And Kirk Cousins is like, nah.
I think they've pretty much solidified that their Minnesota's going to go quarterback at this point.
Yeah, but what pick do they have? Is it early? There's so many quarterbacks that are high that that's the one thing that scares me. Because like, they could get a guy like Penix that just throws darts. And I think that would be a scary offense. Right? He's old. Was mobile until his injuries. Did the injuries really matter? I mean, no one's really running the ball in the NFL. And even if they are, it's not like, I mean, Lamar Jackson runs a good bit, but it's not like he's game breaking. He's not doing like Denard Robinson type runs that, like, in college. Like, you just don't have that speed because everyone's fast in the NFL.
But that's the crazy thing is, like, Atlanta had an opportunity to sign Lamar Jackson. I think he was pushing, what, $200 million? And instead, they signed, off an injury, Kirk Cousins.
Is that like how much they signed him for, though?
They signed him for like $148 million or something like that.
Which, I mean, that's still a Lamar Jackson discount, though. Right? I feel like Lamar Jackson there would have been awesome, like a Mike Vick, right?
But to have a younger quarterback compared to a guy that's coming off like a major Achilles injury and is old.
That's true. They're pulling the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. Where then who'd they sign to backup Rodgers? Is it Tyrod Taylor? They brought someone else in. I can't remember who now off the top of my head. And they're like, we expect you to be injured. But... And even in the press release, it was like, we expect this team to be a playoff team, so we want to have a good veteran contingency plan in case Aaron Rodgers gets hurt again. And I'm like, that's nice. Like, the Buccaneers were like, Tom Brady, you are bust. But the Jets lived that last year. They were bust. So they have to kind of come up with a new plan. The Falcons, like, Kirk Cousins, to me, he doesn't move the needle. Like, maybe that's good news for fantasy, for like Bijan Robinson owners, right? If you use a keeper on him or you're planning on drafting him, Kirk Cousins is good getting the run game open with his like quick reads, but I don't really think the Vikings have had a high value fantasy running back with the offense that Kirk Cousins has run either, because he's not like dumping down out of the backfield or anything. And I'm talking about like in a PPR league, because pure running would be a little bit different, but Kirk Cousins doesn't really utilize the backfield much in the offense, right? So going into the turf, is he going to be able to sit back? Like, I just don't think he's like the pocket passer type. In the turf, you got to be able to run as a quarterback like a Mike Vick, or you got to sit back there and just pick it apart like Kurt Warner. He's neither
of those. Like Warren Moon, baby.
Yeah, he's not even Warren Moon. He's like just like the game manager. He's like the guys on, was it CBS? All the guys are like game managers on that show. Boomer, Phil Sims. Right? They're not got like, they're always talking about like Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that. He's not that good. And I'm like, you guys were all just middle managers like here. What are you talking about? I don't think anyone's like growing up is like, can't wait to be Phil Sims. Like maybe Boomer, but he wasn't winning Super Bowls. He's losing to Joe Montana all the time. And then he even brought that up like, we had a little rivalry. It's like, nah, the rival, you have to win. You have to win the game sometimes to make it a rivalry, guys. Come on. Everybody knows that. So, Russ coming in doesn't move the needle either. Not going to lie. How many people do you think, we'll put it this way, what percentage of the stadium is going to have a Russell Wilson jersey on?
More importantly, how many thin fans are going to have that? Because they're all going to be eating danger witches. We're all going to get on the subway diet.
So, I don't even know, like, what the excitement level would be. Because I was thinking, I'm going to write some notes for the show, right? I'm going to put out, my theory is that Russell Wilson will start. He always fades down the stretch. And then Pickett will come in, and he will catch, like, lightning for a bit. Just kind of like how, was it Drake May with the Commanders last year? How he was hot. And I'm like, I should play him in fantasy. I'm like, nah, he's not going to be able to stick it.
It was how May's.
Oh, yeah. May's this year. I get all the North Carolina.
Get your North Carolina quarterbacks mixed up.
The North Carolina busts all look the same to me, just like Ohio State quarterbacks. I don't know who I'm looking at here, Matt. So, yeah, was it Sam Howell? He came in hot for like 3 weeks. Talked him up for fantasy, and then I was like, in my gut, I know, don't play this dude. And then he fell off and got Bieniemy fired, right? So it's like, all right, awesome work. That's what I feel like Pickett's going to happen. Comes in, everyone's like, Russell Wilson really sucking right now. Good thing we only paid him league minimum, and the Broncos are just crying while they watch a game on TV, and he's like throwing three picks. Pickett comes in, saves them. They're at 8 wins, right around 500 again. Everyone's excited. Hey, Tomlin's not going to hit under 500 again. Awesome. People are celebrating, high-fiving. And then Pickett wheels fall off, losing the first round of the playoffs. And everyone's like, again? Dang. Can't believe that happened. But then I read a couple other takes on the trade from like major like ESPN and some other ones. And they all kind of said the same thing. So I'm like, it's not even an original thought for me to lay that out on the show. Because everyone is thinking the same exact thing. Russell Wilson's going to come in fired up hot. Of course, he's not in great shape, so he's going to fade. Pickett comes in. He fades too. And then the Steelers are sitting there at 500. That's the season. I can go to bed. It's kind of like watching the Pirates. I know exactly what's going to happen. They'll hit a little run. People get pumped up. It's not even Bucktober anymore. It's like Buck March, Buck April. Then they're done. They're like, are they going to make a move at the deadline? Yeah, they are. It's going to be the worst move imaginable. Everyone gets excited because they made a move, and it is going to just be awful. Ruin the clubhouse. They go down. Everyone's talking about, well, the core will be back next year, so maybe we'll sell season tickets. I feel like the Steelers are entering that territory. And my question to you is 500 good enough?
I want to say no, but I was surprised that they didn't move on at the end of this year.
To but what? I feel just like a complete still, rebuild or from Pickett?
Just in general. From Tomlin, from Pickett, from everywhere. But I feel like, I don't know, at this point last year, I felt like we had, it seemed like Pickett might be the answer. And I'm not writing him off just yet, because how much of that was that Canada's play calling? How much of it was quarterback play? You know, I feel like there's a lot of different variables. I mean, on one hand, you can say, well, they changed quarterbacks and they were able to produce more yards, but it really didn't produce points. And they weren't getting the explosives that I feel like in the NFL right now you have to be able to generate. So, you know, you have a new offensive coordinator brought in. You have a veteran quarterback that it seems like from the reports I was reading that he spent a lot of time. So it's not like he just settled for the first offer. Like, I think they're going to game plan a little bit around his skill set to set them up for success. I actually think adding by subtracting is going to help Pittsburgh, because moving Deontay Johnson out, and I've vented about him over and over, I felt like the NFL had him on this pedestal of elite wide receivers, and I just didn't think that he consistently did anything. Like, I don't know. I didn't find it difficult to put him in that elite category, because he didn't get separation. He didn't, like, he was great, or he was okay as that slot receiver, but as guys were leaving and he was forced into that more 1-2 role, that I just don't think that it ever caught with what the expectations from what reality were. I don't know how much that changes what the draft board looks like, because I still feel like to address the bigger issues, they need to go after linemen and solidify the line. I feel like their running back situation is relatively stable. They need a little, to get a little bit younger defensively, but with signing Queen, I think that was a plus too, because I think they get a good linebacker and they steal one from the Ratbirds, so that helps the Steelers out a little bit.
But the Ravens, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
They got my man Derrick Henry.
I know.
So they went from having just like Lamar Jackson and some buddies to having one of the best running backs in recent times, where he's a home run hitter if he stays healthy. I know he's getting up there in age, and he's had some, I mean, he's taken a lot of shots, but he hasn't had any help. Like, they're just running him into the line. I know a lot of people probably didn't tune in because they didn't have fantasy implications like me, to where last year I'm like, I can't keep him anymore. I have to let him go. It's like letting your kid like go out and you're like, go ahead, go to a different team. You'll be good on your own. There's going to be some learning curves, but like, Tannehill is not helping you out. You're just running into the line. You're going to get hurt again, buddy. Just go. And then now he's like, hey, I went out on my own. I got to deal with the Ravens. And now I'm tempted to like, wonder how cheap I can get him for. If he's around there for 30, 40 bucks, I'll probably take a bid, right? Because they're not going to throw Lamar, or they're not going to run Lamar Jackson at the goal line. When you have Derrick Henry, he's going to take a lot of touchdowns, man. It's going to be great. But then there are so many running back moves that I'm really not even sure what I'm going to do for like fantasy in terms of like picking out. The Chargers let Eckler go, which we knew was probably going to happen. He signed with Commanders. Awful decision. I mean, he probably didn't have much choice because he was in a contract year and he played like crap. But you're like, all right, that guy's on the tail end of his career. We probably will never hear from him again. Right? What is this, March something? Write that down. So whenever he's like leading the NFL, you can laugh at me and be like, remember when you said Eckler's, we're never going to hear from him again? We're probably not going to hear from him again, dude. He's in Washington. And I couldn't even remember the quarterback that I had on my fantasy team last year from them. Because no one knows any of their players. They're not good. They're never on TV. It's a bad place to go if you're a free agent. Meanwhile, Saquon Barkley just goes to the Eagles. That could be a career saver, right?
I would say yes. I mean, that's definitely...
Isn't that what happened to Swift?
I mean, honestly, that's up there with Jacobs to Green Bay that I think was a pretty solid move.
I'll be honest, I'm surprised that Jacobs signed there. He was another one that I had a fantasy. I expected a little bit more from him, but he's been consistent, if anything. And he's younger. I mean, I let Henry go last year, but I had Eckler and Jacobs. Eckler, there was never a confidence playing him. Jacobs was more of a set and forget. And if you're having a running back that's able to just do that and take some pressure off Love, nothing against the Packers backfield that they had. And did they end up losing anybody here? Aaron Jones, maybe? Who else? So there's a lot of movement. It's like, it's crazy this year. Have we ever seen this many running backs move?
No, but I think that also just shows where the market is for them right now.
It's low. People are just like, yeah, we're not going to pay you, but we'll pay this other guy that's slightly different. So like Aaron Jones was upset, it looks like, because he did move to the Vikings. So he went from the Packers to the Vikings. The Packers are like, oh, fine, we'll bring in Josh Jacobson in your face. And so... like, what do you do in that situation? Joe Mixon goes to the Texans. So the Bengals bring in Zach Moss. Saquon Barkley goes to the Eagles. Wasn't Swift with them? Didn't he go to the Bears? And then since Henry left, then Pollard went to the Titans. And then I already brought up Eckler. And so then you have Singletary goes to the Giants to fill in for Barkley. Gus Edwards goes to the Chargers. That's not an exciting move. And then Antonio Gibson from the Commanders went to the Patriots. So everyone's just reshuffling. And honestly, there are a couple good fits. Like Josh Jacobs to the Packers is probably going to be a great fit. Saquon Barkley with the Eagles, I would assume, is going to be an awesome fit. Derrick Henry with the Ravens would be a great fit. The rest of them, I'm kind of like... I'm not excited about. Right? Are you like, what's, if you were confident right now, any of those new situations, would you be like, I'm going to go ahead and bid on that guy for even like a running back two position in fantasy or anything?
I mean, I feel like the smart money says that Derrick Henry is going to be one to willing to gamble with. I actually felt like of all of them, Saquon, he'll end up going for like $80 in our league.
Oh yeah, because he's a Penn State guy. And Swift had great like value last year, I feel like. Didn't he? Am I making that up? And then for him to go to the Bears, I get strike while you're hot, try to get a bigger contract. But in terms of fantasy, that would be a clear... That's a no from me, dog. I'm not signing you. Went to the Bears.
I was thinking about this the other day, and this is like really random, but just thinking about like the franchise tag and how like you have guys that are unhappy with their job, and it's like, I really want to see what other jobs are out there. Like, nope, you're going to play another year here at less money than you think you're worth.
But they keep doing it, right? They're like, yeah, we're gonna just keep using it on you. And then, of course, what didn't Le'Veon Bell, didn't he have to just like quit to like get that to happen? He's like, nah, I'm tired of this. I'm not even giving it my all and you guys don't care. Like, what are you doing? That's why I honestly, like, I brought up Eckler a couple times. I was confident last year that he's going to be awesome because it was a contract year. Like, there's a clear difference when you're like playing for a contract. I think Josh Jacobs was on a contract year too, right? So, like, I'm picking guys based on contract years. And sometimes the players don't even care. And it's like, come on, buddy. This is our livelihood here. I picked you up for that reason. Thought you were going to be good. You're not. So, the franchise tag is funny, but they're not even using it on running backs anymore. That's how much the NFL doesn't care. And you can't even project them.
But yeah. The irony in all of it is you can devalue running backs as much as you want, but you're not winning if you don't have a decent running back. Regardless of how you're using them, you need a back to close out games.
Well, let's see. Because, like, McCaffrey came in the Niners, and that was like a match made in heaven. He fit in perfectly for them. And they're still losing the biggest games. I'm still shocked at that. They're like, they have the perfect roster. And they're like, nah, coach will get in the way. But even other teams like T. Higgins is asking for a trade because he got franchise tagged. It's like, you're going to get franchise tagged and we're not going to do anything about it. And you're either going to play good or we'll let you go and then no one will pay your next contract. Or get Russell Wilson'd, just giving you the minimum. But a couple Michigan linemen got like, was it the Patriots signed an OAU to like a $57 million contract? I think the Giants signed on to Michigan's guys, Runyon. So like there's been some big linemen making a ton of money. And then even like the Ravens signed... Well, whatever that guy's name is, the defensive tackle for like a $98 million deal. So it seems like teams are just investing in the line and they're done paying for running backs. And I don't blame them. Because like the last couple of big time deals were like McCaffrey, faked injuries all the time. You can't convince me that he wasn't faking. Like the Panthers had to have been kicking themselves after those deals. Who else? Barkley signed some big deals. He's been injured. And then that's what was funny to me is like last year, weren't they doing like conference calls with each other? Like McCaffrey and Barkley. It's like, come on, guys, we're not getting paid what we're worth. It's like, yeah, you guys are faking injuries, not playing. What are you talking about? Of course they don't care about you anymore because they're realizing.
But that may have even been what the hustle was because McCaffrey went from, oh, my hamstring, my groin, my toe, to just hustling his butt off at the Super Bowl. And maybe they were sharing, hey, if you fake it long enough, then you can sign a deal with a contending team.
But that's where I think the franchises got, like, smart to it, because McCaffrey goes down in Carolina. Hubbard was doing just as well as him. Not faking injuries, not being a prima donna, not crying on Zooms with other running backs, right? That's why the Giants are probably like, go. Go, Saquon. We don't care. The lights are too big for you here. The lights are too big. We were hoping that you'd give us like some consistent performances, but you haven't. You're always hurt. You're not making big time plays anymore. It's like OBJ. They know when to move on from their guys. I got to give the Giants that, right? Let him go. And then people are like waiting for him to do something. And nothing happens. I fell into that trap with OBJ. I'm not falling into that trap with Saquon. I think the Giants know what's going on. And I'm not going to be the one to take a gamble to see if that mistake holds water or anything like that. So I don't know. There's a lot of moves this year. And I know it's early. But the core teams, like the Chiefs, not on the list. They don't really care.
But I also feel like when you're in a... The Chiefs are very, very similar right now to how the Patriots system had worked, where they have their quarterback, they have a consistent system in place where the people go there and buy into what the program is right away. So they can afford to sit back, get a couple pieces in the draft, and make do.
I thought you were going to say they had an old coach that people think is the greatest now because just the quarterback's winning has nothing to do with them. The only time they've ever won is when they're with that quarterback. Very fitting, dude. You can't argue that. I mean, I guess he came close with McNabb, but that could have been the chunky soup. We don't know. We don't know if that was actually Andy Reid's coaching. Because remember, Bieniemy was the hottest OC. He leaves Mahomes. Mahomes changes nothing. He's like, the offense looks the exact same. And then Bieniemy's out of a job. He's going to UCLA, right? Isn't he their OC now? Or is he the head coach now?
I don't know.
Did you know that? So the old Eagles coach, Chip Kelly, just decides, I'm out. And then UCLA goes through hiring. And then Bieniemy is now UCLA's offensive coordinator, not even their head coach. So the dude was fighting to get a head coaching job in the NFL. Could have taken a head coaching job at any college, really. I mean, not the big dogs, but like, let's be real. He probably could have walked in and they would have been happy to have him. But instead, he takes, and let's be real here, UCLA is not a good job. In fact, it's going to be one of the worst jobs. Because they took all the good teams out of the Pac-12, and whatever scheduling thing the Big Ten ends up like deciding when they're finished with the expansion part, like if they go to a pod system, like I said, they're going to be playing all their toughest rivals all the time. And so Bieniemy's like, you know what? That's where I want to be. I don't want the pressure, though. I'm just going to be the OC. It's like, what a career. What a career path to follow. I don't get it. Like, at what point did he just... I just don't understand why he just wouldn't take a shot and come in and be all hot like Dion. Maybe that's not him. I guess I know he's a player's guy. But, I mean, just give yourself a chance. I mean, look at Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Bieniemy could find a job like Iowa State that if you win 6 games, they love you forever. And he could just be that guy. And then eventually the NFL is going to come calling because, like, they were calling for Pat Fitzgerald. They were calling for, like, Matt Campbell. They were calling for some of these guys. They called for Bill O'Brien at Penn State because of the sanctions or whatever. So if you take a job that people consider is down on your luck and you win, and he didn't have any incidents or whatever was causing him not to get the head coaching job in the first place, he would have got a coaching job unless he lost, right? But that would have been...
But maybe he's taking the same gamble on himself that Bill Walsh did when he left San Francisco to go to Stanford, because he was qualified. He was the right-hand man for Paul Brown and just kept getting sandbagged because Paul Brown wanted to keep him as a coordinator.
And yeah, but wasn't he the head coach at Stanford?
He did jump to be the head coach at Stanford, but, you know, sometimes your scenario changes and it's just take a different job, get away, refine yourself. I mean, hell, Pete Carroll did it when he, after he flamed out in New England, went to USC and cheated his way into multiple national championships.
Cheated his way?
You would know about it.
How would I know about it? I'm not, because the Big Ten thing, I'm not a USC fan. I only know that Reggie Bush likes the Baconator, and so do I. Going for those nugs behind the Wendy's dumpster, dude. That's what you got to go for. And I will say that Reggie deserves his Heisman back. I saw Johnny Manziel was on Twitter again. I didn't even know he was still around there, asking for Reggie Bush to get his Heisman back now that NIL is there. And I'm ready to just dust off the Fab Five banners myself. University had already gone past whatever the expiration date is. Bring them all back. Bring them back. I'm ready to see, because I think some of these players are in for a rude awakening. And the NIL stuff is 100% going to affect the draft, dude. Because players are coming in, used to making their own deals or whatever. And then to your point earlier about the franchise tag that's going on right now, imagine being in college being like, oh, you're talking mean to me. I don't like that. What was that? DJ Durkin, there's like showing pictures of like lions killing gazelles or whatever. They're like, coach is mean. She made me watch that lion video again. I'm transferring. And then in the NFL, it's like, coach is mean. They're not throwing me the ball. I'm transferring. They're like, psych, my son, you got the franchise tag. Go back out there. Like T. Higgins. What's he thinking right now? He's like, great. I'm not even the number one guy. They don't even like me the most.
You thought you were going to sign for $50 million. No, we're going to get you 20.
Gotcha. Right here, franchise tag.
See you in practice.
That's what I think they should do in college, because no one's bringing this deal out. They don't have a franchise tag equivalent where if you're in the NIL, you're like the top dog at one of these small schools, they can just say, gotcha, you're the franchise tag. And you're just the face, and they have to use you because, like, there has to be a thing because it's college, right? So you can't really force them to stay. But as part of, like, the NIL thing, like, the NCAA could take over NIL where everyone signs the thing. And they could have a role where, like, if you're the franchise tag, you can't transfer, but the university has to play you, and they have to use you in all their marketing. So, like, anytime they do, like, a jersey reveal, it's you. And you're like the franchise for whatever the term of that deal is. That's what they should do. So like some guy that's like, I'm going to get my McDonald's bag from so-and-so school, Kentucky. Great. And then he's like, I need to get out of here and go to Bama. We're not winning. We're going to win five games again. And they're like, sorry, son. We got you a franchise tag. That'd be perfect. That's what I would like. And then it's the NFL will be behind it because it's getting them ready for their real life in the NFL. And for players that aren't going to make the NFL and they're playing at a smaller school, maybe they get a little bit of taste of it too, because they can't leave. Think you're going to transfer from Coastal Carolina? Think again, baby. Franchise tag. Have to stay. Was it your boy Malik Willis, right? At Liberty? What if he decided to transfer his last year? Can't franchise tag him. Well, he's on Jerry Falwell's boat, dude.
No, I'm with some of the transfers in the past. Didn't there have to be something with like a compatibility with a student's major?
Oh, bro, Michigan had a guy transfer to Bama randomly in like February, the end of February or whatever. Already in the class. Wait, missed 6 weeks? Nah, not a big deal. Come right in, man. We got a class ready for you. You're already enrolled. Who cares about the classes you missed? You're in. Because typically, that's why the transfer thing for like Nick Saban announcing his retirement was so bad. Because it was right before winter or spring, like whatever the school calls it, because they're all different. Right before that semester, right? So people could just leave, enroll in classes. But like Harbaugh waited and waited for classes to start. And it's like harder for people to just to be like, hey, I'm going to come into your school, because you can transfer. You can announce your transfer, finish your semester, but then you can't really enroll until maybe the second 8 weeks, which would be a little bit like after spring ball already started. Cause like Ohio State's already been practicing or whatever. So like before midterm break. So you would miss a bunch of practices, or you have to wait until summer, do the transfer, and then come in fresh and miss all the spring ball, which players don't want to do. So like, how does Bama have people just come in, miss a bunch of classes and be eligible? I don't know. But I think schools are finding their way around it. Right? Because that's the key thing people forget. Because I hear people say like, oh, just make the transfer portal like signing day, February. It's like, buddy, What do you think they're going to be able to do? Just show up at class a few weeks late? Like, what's your major? Do you want them all to be gen eds? Because some of them do go for big degrees, right? So, like, it depends on what the athlete wants to do. And, yeah, that's the rumor right now, like, with a couple guys that announced that they were transferring to Michigan. And then, like, last minute, they're like, guess what? We're not. It's because their transcript didn't come or came through and none of their classes were approved. So then they would have either had to start all over, which if you're just going right pro, like if you're a basketball player, maybe it's not as big of a deal, right? If you started over, because you're like, I'm never going to get my degree anyway. But in football, when you're there for like at least 3 years, you need the degrees to come over. That's why I think Michigan's been taking, and it's worked out, honestly, taking mostly grad transfers from like Arizona State guy came in, graduated, and then he came in right into grad school, guy from Stanford. And I think, well, some of them, I think, ended up staying an extra year. And that's the other thing, too. Michigan just had a guy announce he was announced for the draft, but he had another year of eligibility, I think. And he just announced today or yesterday that he's coming back for a sixth year or whatever, the COVID year. He's using it. So that's another thing, too. You can sign an agent, go pro, do a bunch of publicity. And then with NIL now, you're like, you know what? Teams are saying that I'm going to be like a late to whatever. I can come back to Michigan. Maybe coach reached out and said like, hey, just so you know, we haven't taken any transfers in yet. We have NIL money right here for you. Just come back, dude. You're welcome. And so players are doing that. And more power to them. Because like, how many people leave the school early and don't get drafted? And then you're stuck. But I feel like transfers are going to be the same thing. You transfer in thinking one thing, and then not everyone's just there to be a professional football player. So how many guys, I mean, I can think of a couple, I'm not going to call them out. Like, I can think of a couple that transferred from Michigan last year that I haven't heard about since. They're like, you know what? I can get more playing time at X school. And at the time, I was kind of bummed. It was like, it looked like they were on like a good running. Michigan wins a national championship, and those players are nowhere to be found. Michigan lost some other ones that have made an impact. But for the most part, the transfer thing, there's nothing the school can do. Because if a player wants to leave, they want to leave. And if the school wants to figure out a way to get the credits to work, I mean, I guess they have to do it, right? The NCAA hasn't stepped up. Will they step up? Nick Saban's doing a press tour right now. Do people care what he thinks? I don't. Right? Can't take a guy that had the number one recruiting class for 8 to 10 years in a row, and then NIL opens up and magically he loses those recruiting classes, blames it on NIL, but maybe just they leveled the playing field for some of those schools. And even the ones that were taking advantage, like Tennessee, they're still getting hit with sanctions. Why? I don't know.
You're an idiot to think that they took the high road in every scenario and and weren't paying players. I think I could see the scenario where they had the boosters set up so that if a kid goes to the school and isn't asking for a pile of money, that don't worry about it. But if a kid's coming in and you really want that recruit, they're saying, well, Tennessee's offering me $500,000. What can you do? Like, here's this booster who can connect you with the appropriate services. You know, I think to a certain extent, Saban is pointing out the exact concern that I have with it, is that I almost feel like with the way that the conferences have shifted, it's already started to take that shape where between the Big Ten and the SEC, there's preferential treatment already. And they went into some of the review of like how the the revenue was going to be split and all this stuff, where if you're not in the Big Ten or the SEC, you're getting a lesser cut of the pie. So now the amount of money that you have to improve facilities and experiences and things like that for the campus is restricted. You're creating that system where there's only going to be a select number of schools, and it's definitely going to squash some of the underdog programs from really having a run. You know, I think you're definitely going to see those select schools at the top are going to stay there. There's not going to be that movement, because there's no way of providing any kind of support to help those lower programs bridge that gap.
See, but I feel like we're going to go back to how it was almost in like the 80s or 90s, where I wouldn't be surprised to see a school like West Virginia. I know that they're strapped for cash right now, but if things keep going the way they are and they don't get the invite, what's stopping them from just going independent? And I mean, I'm surprised like the Pac-2 are trying to do it right now, where you have Oregon State. And I like in the 80s, people probably don't remember, but like the 70s and 80s, there were a ton of teams that were independent that kind of just teamed up and became like what, the Big East at the time. Like Pitt, Penn State were independent. I think Syracuse was, West Virginia, Miami, Virginia Tech might have been somewhere else smaller. But see, like Joe Paterno tried to get them all together to become like a pure Eastern Conference, and they were like, nah, not interested, because we're going to be focused on basketball. And then they signed like the Big East basketball, and then they're like, you know what, I think we are going to become a football conference. And at that time, Penn State was already going to the Big Ten, and the rest is history. The Big East never lasted because they tried to do basketball heavy, and that doesn't work. And it made me think of like the ACC tournament on right now, where that used to be a big deal. And I feel like that used to be on just regular TV down here. Now it's like NC State's playing. They're buried on like ESPN2. Some of the games are on ESPNU. And it's like, guys, I'm not going to pay for an ESPN thing just to watch a 1 week tournament. And that, if that's what the ESPN streaming app's going to be, like the ESPN ratings for basketball haven't been good. They bragged about even the women's one with like Caitlin Clark broke that record. And they said like that was the most watched game of like almost all time, or maybe it was all time, going back to like 1990s for women's basketball. But I looked at the ratings, dude, had like the same rating as like a Wisconsin Minnesota football game from last year, like 4 million people. And I thought, that how is that good for the sport to just bury all these events? And maybe the Caitlin Clark one was on ABC. I don't know. I didn't watch it myself. But I know with the ACC, how are you going to make that money up when your premier event is just being shoved on ESPN2? Because I was like, what are they broadcasting instead? Is it the SEC tournament? Nope, that's on the SEC network. So like, there's nothing on. They're just opting to go, ESPN2 it. Like ESPN's really using the ACC to kind of sell people into just, because there are some packages, and I know they're probably slim and whatever, but I know like if you get the base package, you just get ESPN or whatever, like the cheapest cable package. And so like they're trying to get people to just, if we throw a couple games on ESPN2, they'll probably just upgrade to like the extended network package, right? And some people do it because they just only watch sports, and it's like, at this point, like all of the network type stuff, I know I like to talk about it on the show, but in reality, it's one more hoop to jump through. And at this point, I just don't care enough. I wanted to watch a Braves spring training, get a text, hey, Braves are on. I'm like, all right, awesome. It's only on restricted ESPN something. Can't watch it on your ESPN Plus, probably because I'm too close to him or whatever, blacked out. Tried to watch Hurricanes hockey on ESPN Plus. Nah, can't do that. Blacked out. And it's like, all right, why am I paying for this again? Because I forget about the blackouts until there's something on that I actually want to watch, right? And then it's like, hey, why are you canceling? What's the feedback? It's like, you're blacking out your own stupid streaming app. There's no reason to do it. Push back on the if it's the sports networks making you do it, like if it's really the ACC that's making you do all the blackouts, then that's really idiotic of them because no one's watching their games anyway. That's why their TV deal is complete shit.
But you know, you're saying about blacking out games, and I don't care what the sport is at this point. It's 2024. There's no reason that you can't watch any sports team. There shouldn't be a blackout with it. If you want to watch some obscure sport, there should be that option and availability that doesn't involve paying through three different layers of a streaming app. Like there should just be something very basic to just have it where you're not having to go through random torrents and different stuff like that.
Well, that's what I'm still waiting for the Big Ten to come through and see, because everyone complains about Peacock, but just put all the stuff there. If it's one place, I'll pay. I don't care. But I get screwed because Michigan hockey's popular. They just beat Notre Dame in the Big Ten tournament, so now they're moving on to the Final Four Big Ten or whatever. Games are on Big Ten Network. Awesome. I know where to watch it, whatever. If that becomes part of Peacock, that's even better. But they still have a Big Ten plus hockey package thing that's per team. So like Michigan and Michigan State play like an annual rivalry thing where one game is home and the next one's away. If you pay for the home package, I only get one of those two games. And regular season hockey to me is kind of just like regular season basketball or something. Like, it's interesting if you have nothing else on. It's like a lull period. Football's over, whatever. But most of the time, those games really don't matter. But I'm like, I'm not going to pay a fee and just get one of the two games that I want to watch this weekend, because then I have to pay for Michigan State's feed. Like, Big Ten, what are you doing? This is just as dumb as the ACC. At least I can pay, though. It's not blacked out. I mean, I'm not up there, so I don't know. Maybe they are doing blackouts. But like down here, SEC, and I know there's no SEC team in the state here, but I've never seen an SEC game blacked out in my area. ACC is the only conference that is consistently blacked out, and it is infuriating. More so than anything. And it just makes me think, go to Pennsylvania, go to a friend's house, Penn State's right there. We have no problem watching any Big Ten football or Big Ten sport at all. Down here in the South, SEC, never seen blackouts. I've lived in the southern border almost for South Carolina. Never had any of their games blacked out. Move up outside Raleigh, boom. Half the ACC is blacked out for me because there's like four teams right here. Thanks, guys. How am I supposed to... What do you want me to do? Pay for Raycom? Like, that must be the only thing that they're doing, right? Forcing you to pay for Raycom. That has to be it. I don't know why else there would be blackouts. And I just don't know why, because I made fun of the CW. I don't even care. Put all the games on CW. At least I can watch them. That's my rant. The ACC wants to do something. Get out of bed with the ESPN, because they're not helping you at all. They're burying you, and they're making people jump through hoops. And if your leadership is the one that's making that call to either the blackouts, then you guys are idiots, and your conference deserves to fall apart. I mean, it's point blank that simple. I mean, the Pac-12 was looking for people to watch on Twitter. They were doing anything to try to get their viewership up. And the ACC's struggling, and they're just like, their solution is, hey, we'll take SMU. We're not going to pay them, but they'll kind of be here. And we're going to take Florida State to court. Awesome. Great game plan. Like, if they did a recap or a year in review, it's like, what are our celebrations here? Some random, like, sports championships, like, that no one can watch because they're not on TV and no one cares about. That's it. I mean, luckily, Clemson football kept them afloat during the playoff era. Otherwise, the ACC would be... probably worse off than the Pac-12, I would think. I really think Clemson saved the conference. And I don't know why the ACC basketball tournament made me so annoyed. That coupled with the Hurricanes games being blocked out when they're good and they traded for Gensel. And I always liked him on the Penguins. I thought he was going to be an up-and-coming star. So that's the game I'm like, oh, awesome. I'll watch his first game. Nope. Can't, my man. It's on there, ESPN Plus. You just can't see it. So you just click on it and it'll tell you no. Not allowed. Not for you. You want to watch an Ottawa game? No, I don't want to. But I could if I want to. If I did want to, I could. And that's the other thing too, where I hear people talk, like complain down here. It's like some of the Hurricanes, because like you go to watch a game or whatever, and they're like, hey, you guys a fan? Like, what can we do better? It's like, let me watch the games. You can't get your family into the games if they're not on TV. That's why you can tell when I meet people that grew up in rural Pennsylvania, because like their random Braves or Cubs fans, because those were on TBS and the WGN for the Cubs, and they were on TV. You didn't have to pay for some weird Root Sports Pittsburgh channel, Pittsburgh Sports Net, to get the games. They were just there on regular cable, and people only had like 10 channels. It's like, hey, you want to watch some baseball? Heck yeah, I do. Don't be a Cubs fan? All right, good. I guess I'll cheer for the Braves. And that, I honestly think that has a lot to do with it. That's why a lot of people, I think, are Cowboys fans, because consistently they're typically on at 4 on Sunday at Fox, and people know where to watch them. Same with the Packers or the Niners. Like, you had a good little mix there, but most of the time you could watch one of those three teams, if not both of them, early in the day, because Fox sometimes had the doubleheader when CBS didn't. And I honestly think the visibility of some of these teams are why they end up being popular. Not so much of people just having them on the local network. But NFL knows they don't do blackouts. Could you imagine if the Panthers are god-awful down here and they're blacking out the games? How could they sell, like, hey, we just got Deontay Johnson, going to check him out? Pay $5 through Panthers Net. Panthers Net stream live. It's like, all right, awesome, guys. I'm surprised they're not going to like an OnlyFans model where it's like only fans of the Panthers can come here. Take a peek at our new roster, Matt.
This veered in a really weird direction.
But that's why I look at the free agency moves, and there it's like, if I'm a Panthers fan, what am I excited about? Deontay Johnson? No, you give a good rundown on that. Why would I be excited about that? What are they doing? The owner's throwing beers at people? Awesome. Does he have a coach cam, like a owner's cam? That's what they need. Put that in the corner. And let that just simmer during the game. And as they're losing, he gets madder and madder. And like, they could also have, if McCaffrey was still, they could have like an injury cam. He's like touching his calf. He's like, oh man, you know, I'm tightening up a little bit. We're down 17. I can feel, oh, I think it's going to go. And meanwhile, the owner's like, that's it. And he's throwing beers at people. That's what they need. It's almost like a WWE. And then he starts calling players out. And then eventually they'll be like, sir, you gotta give up. That leads me to my last thing that I saw, where there's becoming a lot of political pressure on team ownership. And we know, as a Packers owner, I'm for teams that let you own like the franchise. Like, you can go buy an Atlanta Braves stock right now, and I'll be honest, it's been up. If you'd listened to me 2 years ago from the World Series, stock has been up. So now there's a push, because people are starting to realize, with the way social media is, owners are a jackass. If the owner comes in and does something really stupid, why are you giving him money? Right? The players don't want to play for them. You have players that are getting franchise tag openly saying, like, I don't want to be here. I hate it here. But yet you're supposed to be a diehard fan. Because I always have people tell me this, like, oh, I'm a diehard fan. I'll never switch teams. It's like, why? Why are you connected to the team? What do you do? Are they paying you to be a fan? Like, if they're paying you or you're making money, like, the Braves are successful. If you own the stock, you too can be successful. I mean, based on how much money you actually put in or whatever, right? Just like any other stock. Like, having, like, because it's the same as, like, if you're, like, an Apple fanboy. If you're not investing in Apple, why would you be caring what products they're putting out and, like, celebrating their wins? Like, I really feel good about the product they just put out. Like, their VR thing really just looks stupid. And they have to be plugged in. When the Facebook one, you don't have to be plugged in. Way better. I don't care what the resolutions are or what the use cases are. VR, you're not plugged in. It's better to me, right? So, like, same with, like, sports. If the owner's doing something stupid and they're bringing a roster that I don't like, why should I still cheer for them? And so I think if the political push keeps happening where now, and they've been saying, like, some of the, and it's not just the NFL, it's other leagues too, where they're saying, oh, it's hard to find rich billionaire owners that aren't, like, assholes. It's like, yeah. And it's hard whenever the kids are assholes too, because then we can't just, like, because then they're looking like jerks on TV. And people aren't fond of that, right? So I don't like the Niners owner. He's a crybaby, whined about Harbaugh, chose Balky over him. Worst mistake. Balky gets fired after Harbaugh. Harbaugh wins the national championship. Now he's going to the Chargers. I would love it if Harbaugh somehow won the Super Bowl before the Niners did. Niners have a stacked roster. Based on what they learned about roster building from Harbaugh, if he comes in and wins the Super Bowl before them, we can thank Mahomes for that, for blocking him out. But it would be so glorious just for their owner and his stupid face to just be like, like, what did I do to deserve this? It'd be all the karma right there. But that's the thing. It's like, oh, you're going to go buy a Niners jersey? He's going to get a percentage of that. Like, why are you supporting this bad ownership? Like, same with some teams where it's like, hey, we're always losing. Like the Lions with, like, the Ford zoning it or whatever. It's like almost like a joke. Like, yeah, they really don't care. They really don't know what they're doing. But we're going to keep supporting them because we're great fans. It's like, who cares about being great fans? Where does that get you? They put that on your gravestone? Like, great fan, this guy. Like, that's my legacy. I really love the Lions. And they sucked too. If write that on the gravestone too, they had the Lions sucked. I shouldn't even like them. Like, that's like the eulogy you get. So that's my roundabout way with, like, college. Like, the college connection, if they go to super teams, like you keep talking about with, like, splitting the conference off, you're gonna lose a ton of fans, because those smaller schools have people that graduated there that have an actual connection. They just didn't grow up right beside the campus. I mean, they have fans like that too. But the alumni base for some of the schools that aren't that good are quite large. And if you're just going to say to them, oh, 500,000 people, we don't really care about you. You're not the right type of fan for us. They're going to say, why am I casually watching this Penn State Michigan game? When my team's on Division II, they don't even put on TV anymore. You have to watch it on Twitter. It's like, I don't care. I'll go to, like, the alumni homecoming game for my local school, and then we're just not going to tune in, and they're going to slowly see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they can grab some of the NFL viewership, but I have heard from some good sources that the NFL is pretty mad about the NCAA trying to expand too fast into their December slate when the NFL has some of those Saturday games around Christmas. And if the NCAA tries to shoehorn some games around that time frame, there's going to be some issues with NFL scheduling where we might see an NCAA playoff game go head to head with an NFL game. And the NCAA looked like they stupidly signed that deal with ESPN. So you're going to be able to choose a poor, probably, matchup between, like, ACC team number two that doesn't deserve to be there versus Big Ten team four, which probably also doesn't deserve to be there, on ESPN or ESPN2, if it gets worse, like the ACC tournament. Or you can just watch Fox and it's like a playoff matchup where, like, the Bears could be eliminated by the Packers or something. And most people are just going to watch the NFL game. And then ESPN's going to say, like, what do we pay all this money for? People aren't even watching. So keep an eye out for that. But that's my beef and my end for the week. Free agency, you can get upset with all the players you want, but they have to work for owners. And even the leagues are admitting that the owners are kind of assholes now, and it's too hard for them to push every owner out. So maybe in like 10 to 20 years, teams will just all be publicly owned, right? And you'll just all own a piece of the stock, and it would just be whatever, just like the Packers. You go in, take a vote, see what happens. But it would be more like a real stock like the Braves. I think the Braves have, what, some primary investor that kind of owns the group? But maybe I'm wrong. I don't even know how many stocks are like actually publicly available. And I know you can buy them and be part of the Braves ownership. I don't think they have separate like ownership things like the Packers. Like if you have stock for the Packers and they win the Super Bowl, I think you can get a ring and stuff like that too. I don't think the Braves stock ownership has that option. But that would be cool if there was a way to kind of verify that you own a few Braves stock and then win the World Series. And then you can get like your own ring or whatever. It says like owner. They probably don't want a bunch of people with those floating around though. Could you imagine how many people, like, think of when the Redskins were changing their name, how many people would be buying stock just to vote on that? Like, oh, hell no, they're not going to call themselves the Redskins no more. Buying a stock here. Some guy's like, honey, did you purchase 300 Redskin stocks? Yeah, I'm voting on the name change. It's like, oh, good grief. That's the kind of level fanhood I hope that we see one day. Where you can be so upset with the player, you buy as much stock as you can just to vote them out. You're like, hell no, Pickett, I've seen enough of you. Or like even the Broncos players is like, abort, abort. Our franchise is going down. We have to eat that money, fellas. What do you think? And it's just like a message board of like the craziest guys that are like, we need to put an end to this. Right? That's my future. You have anything else you want to talk about today?
Nah, I think that's about it.
I know, heavy offseason. We've got some football starting soon though, right? At the end of the month, UFL. Hopefully we'll see some more moves. I don't think like there's been a lot, so much change that I don't even know what's going to happen in terms of the draft. It feels like a lot of the teams at the top now are going to be taking quarterbacks. So like we could be seeing 4 or 5 quarterbacks taken within the first 12 picks or so, which to me never works out, right? Even Mahomes was taken like what, 12th or something? And all those guys taken before him, you're better off just doing like the, because even the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, they kind of waited on him too. And they're like, we have our guy, not worth the top 10, but we think he'll be good in the long term. And but it worked out for both those teams. And I think teams need to realize that. They're like, hey, just grabbing the number one pick. How many times has that worked out? That could be something we look into. Because how many number one picks do you know that have won the Super Bowl? Burrow came close. Wasn't he number one?
Yeah, he was close.
Rodgers fell, so it wasn't him. Alex Smith got hurt, so he didn't win it. What happened with the Manning brother? Eli, the good one. What did he fell? He didn't want to get picked number one, right? So he cried on TV.
Yeah.
So was he picked and then traded? Was he the number one pick? No, he couldn't have been, right? He might be the only one I could think of off the top of my head. Was Hurts number one? I don't think so.
No.
They didn't win the Super Bowl either, though, but they were close. I know Nick Foles was the number one, right? Just in our hearts. Same with Tom Brady. Sixth rounder. Classic. So is taking a quarterback number one even a good pick? Time will tell. Goff could have been it, right? They lost. I think he was number one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So that maybe we'll bring that up next week. I'll see if I can write that down. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.